Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Title this series, You Ask. And by far, there's a couple of issues that come up over and over again that people want to know about. And we're going to address one of them today. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, specifically the power of the Holy Spirit, specifically praying in the Holy Spirit, specifically tongues. So it's one of those things that's mystical to people. It's one of those things that people got a lot of questions about. So this morning, what I want to do is give you a biblical explanation of why we believe you and I can pray in the Spirit or pray in tongues. Now, when we say pray in the Spirit, I principally think two things. Number one, as my mind goes through its daily routine and thoughts come through, I believe the Holy Spirit is behind some of those thoughts. I believe the enemy is behind others of those thoughts. And when he brings those thoughts into my mind, it's a prompting for me many times to pray about it. And thus I pray in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, lead me to pray for those things that you want me to pray for. There's other times when there's a prompting in the Holy Spirit, and that's a praying in tongues. And so how does that work? What is that all about? So let's begin, okay? First of all, what does the Bible teach? What does the Bible teach? There's notes inside of your bulletin that you got when you walked in. So if you'll just take those and follow along with us. What does the Bible teach? Acts chapter 19, verse 1. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed, he asked them. No, they replied, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you experience, he asked, and they replied, the baptism of John. And Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. And as soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, to see what was happening here, they had gotten confused. They had thought, oh, I'm baptized in the name of John, his baptism, that's all it took. They were getting John and Jesus confused. And so Paul had to take a moment and straighten them out. Hold it, this isn't about John, this is about Jesus. World of difference. And so Paul does that and explains that to them. Verse 6, then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied or proclaimed the greatness and goodness of God. They proclaimed God and who he is. There were about 12 men in all. This happened 25 years after the day of Pentecost. This is something that is not wrapped around that specific time, but much farther in. And so what we have here is Paul coming to a group of men, a group of people who are believers and are a little confused about what's going on. And he straightens them out about, hold it, it's about Jesus. Salvation comes through no one else except through Jesus Christ. But there is more after that. And then he says, he laid his hands on them afterwards. Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke with other tongues and prophesied. Now that's pretty clear, isn't it? So the Bible teaches that this is available and this is something that happens to believers. So the next question, well, why are there two experiences? Well, why not just one? What's the deal with two? Well, I'm glad you asked. We have an instance here where shortly after the resurrection, Jesus appears to his disciples. John chapter 20, verse 19. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. And as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, the disciples, the first people to experience salvation through Jesus Christ, and that's what this moment is about. Well, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, because Luke gives us the same story from his viewpoint. How many of you understand that when you have two people seeing the same thing, they both see things differently? You know, my wife and I can look at the same things and boy, we're worlds apart. And that's the way the writers did. They wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but through a perspective that they had. And so in Luke chapter 24, the same circumstances, the same issue, just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. I relate to that. That would be me if that happened, right? "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see it's really me. Touch me. Make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do." And as he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet, and still they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. It's amazing the number of emotions we can all have at the same time, isn't it? And he asked them, "You got anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. I have this picture of them watching it with their mouths open going, "Wow, look what's going on here." And then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now, I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." John emphasized the salvation aspect of what Jesus Christ came to do, because he came and died on a cross and rose again so he could forgive sins. Luke, on the other hand, emphasizes they are given directions on what to do next. You're to go and wait until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Two separate instances. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. "In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. And once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Well, why'd they have to wait? Well, Jesus told them why. He told us why. He says, "I need to leave." We talked about this last week, correct? "I need to leave so that he could come." And so once Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came. And so what we see here is God working in a great, marvelous way. Two experiences. There's salvation, where I receive the Spirit of Christ. There's the ability to pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, all connected together, two experiences. Why? I don't know. I just know this. We have talked about in the weeks previous that you and I are in a warfare, aren't we? And there is a battle goes on in an unseen world that you and I do not see. Scripture proves this out. Satan is doing everything he can to take us away from serving Christ. Christ is doing everything he can to keep us to be his children, because he loves us and died for us and he wants everyone to be saved. And this conflict, this battle is going on in this realm that we do not understand and we do not see. And wouldn't it make sense that if I'm going to fight in that battle well, I have to fight with some things that I do not understand and do not fully see? Right? Spirit is able to fight spirit. My knowledge isn't. And so what we see here biblically, as Jesus was getting ready to leave, preparing his disciples, telling them how this was going to work, showing them that he was alive, proving to them that he had conquered death, hell, and the grave, knowing and helping them know that he was the way to salvation and that there was another experience that was coming that was available to them. Played out through the book of Acts, played out through the last days of Jesus Christ here on this earth. So, two experiences. Well, why do we struggle with this? What are the errors today? What are the things that you and I wrestle with when it comes to this whole subject? Number one, I think I've already put them in your notes. It's not for today. See, there's some who believe, well, that stopped. Well, I just have one question. Tell me when that stopped. The Bible doesn't say it stopped. Well, it's just not for now. You know, and so there's a group of people that believe, well, that's just not for now. That was for back then. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I need everything I can get a hold of to help me in this battle today. I don't think it was just for them. I need it just as much as they do. And so that's an error. It hasn't stopped. It's still available to every one of us. Secondly, you're not saved until you speak in tongues. That is not true. So praying in the Spirit, praying with tongues, has nothing to do with salvation. Nothing. Okay? I am saved through the work of Jesus Christ. Period. Jesus Christ saves me by grace and by my faith in him. So that's just a big error that is there. Thirdly, it'll make you a superior Christian. No, it won't. You see, Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than you. He makes me better than me. He helps me to grow. Has nothing to do with a comparison issue. Well, I've spoken in tongues, I've got the Holy Spirit, and you don't, I'm better than you. That's not true. I've known some people who don't have the Holy Spirit who are fantastic Christians. I've known others who have, and they've got a lot of work to do. You know what I mean? You come to that place where you recognize this isn't a badge of honor. This isn't something that suddenly sets me apart from everybody else. This is something that helps me in my battle with this unseen world to be victorious in my life with God. So it does not make me superior. Well, I don't have this gift. Hold it, stop for a moment. There are gifts listed in the scripture that are for an entirely other purpose than for praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues. They are not the same. And these gifts over here, the Holy Spirit gives as he chooses. And this, what we're talking about today, is for every Christian and every believer that wants it. And so we have to understand there's a big difference here. It's not about the gifts, it's the ability to pray in a greater way. And so I have to understand that and not buy into some of the things that people have talked about and said about, because here's what will happen. Satan will do everything he can to discount the things of God. And he'll take something that God meant to help us and he'll make it weird. He'll try to make it distorted. He'll try to do everything he can. Why? Because he doesn't like us and we're in a battle. And he'll do everything he can to disarm us so that we can't fight the good fight. And I have to be aware of that. Well, why tongues? Couldn't God have chosen something else? And why do I really need this? If I don't need this to be a Christian, do I really need to speak in tongues? Well, you know, it's like saying, well, I'm married, but I never get to kiss my wife. Why would I want to do that? You know, why? I think scripture gives us a little indication of why this is important. James gives us some great information about the tongue. In James chapter 3, verse 2, he says, indeed, we all make many mistakes. Can I get a witness there? Okay. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect. And I've told you before, when it says perfect, it means complete. It doesn't mean I'm without fault. It just means I'm complete. I would have everything I need to have to do what I need to do. We'd be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. So stop for a moment. What's he just said? He just said this simple thing. If you could control what comes out of your mouth, you can control the rest of your life. Verse 3, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. And in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Have you ever noticed just one little slip of the tongue in the wrong time creates all kinds of problems for you in your life? You know, you say something, what'd you say? Oh, I didn't mean that. Well, it could set a great forest on fire. Verse 6, and among all the parts of the body, the tongue's a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who've been made in the image of God. Sometimes people come and give God praise on a Sunday morning in church, and on Monday all they can do is talk badly about people. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Elsewhere in the scripture, there's this verse that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you say is what's in you. The way you talk is what's down inside of you. And so the writer here says, look, don't think that the tongue's just moving and it just operates by itself. Understand that as it speaks, it's revealing who you really are. Because as you talk, that tells us what's inside. And if you can control that, if you can talk wisely, you're going to benefit greatly from it. Isn't it interesting that the one item that God wants to help us control is our tongue? And he gives us his Holy Spirit to say, you don't need to be talking like this. I will help you pray like this. I will bring good out of what's inside of you. Because if the Spirit of Christ is in me, and as a Christian he is, correct? Then what comes out of me should be revealing spirit, shouldn't it? Thus, I can speak in that language, in that manner, because of what is inside of me. And the tongue is critical for control. And God says, let me help you control your tongue. Let me help you deal with this. You know, a bit in a horse's mouth controls the whole horse. God says, if I can help you control that, I will help you be more victorious in your walk with God. Doesn't that make sense? Okay, to me it does. The rest of you, I'm sorry. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. Have you ever battled with God? How do you want me to pray about this? God, what do I pray for now? God, what's next? God, I don't even know how to pray. God, I've got this thing before me. I don't know how to pray for it. I don't know. I want to do what you want. What do you want? And I just don't know. Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that can't be expressed in our words. And the Father who knows all the hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Well, Pastor, if I pray in the Spirit, then I don't know how I'm praying for things. It's not important that you know that. What's important is that you know you are praying spiritually for things that matter, that God understands and God hears and God knows. And you and I walk by Spirit, not by understanding everything. And so I have to come to that place where I understand the Holy Spirit helps me pray when I don't know how to pray, when I don't know what to say, when I don't know what to pray for, when I don't know how to pray for a circumstance. I can come to that place where, God, I surrender to you, and I turn it over to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to speak through me in a way that I don't understand, but He does, and God does. Why? Because Spirit's communicating with Spirit. And so God works, and God does these things in a manner that you and I do not fully recognize and do not fully understand. Well, Pastor, if I do this, it just sounds silly. It sounds crazy. I don't know if you were here last Sunday morning. Remember the missionary we had him here? Remember he walked up here and started speaking this language that he was in from Madagascar? I thought, man, that's jumble. I've been a couple days this week, I was in Honduras. I was surrounded by Spanish speaking. It's a beautiful language. It doesn't make a bit of sense to me. I know a few words that I'm comfortable saying and a few words that I'm not comfortable saying because I get in trouble when I say them. So I learned to stay away from those. And I'll listen to that language and go, that just doesn't make any sense to me. Well, Pastor, it's got to be a language I understand. No, it doesn't. You're not the one understanding. God is. Well, it doesn't make sense to me. I've heard language. Do you know how many languages there are on the face of this earth? There's thousands. And do you know some of them just have to do with tonal implications? You can say the same thing in a different tone and it has different meanings. There's so many ways this can be done. Plus, add to that the fact God has His own language that I don't understand either. One day I won't have to, because when we go to be with the Lord and live with Him forever, we won't need this anymore. We'll be with Him for always. And so He says, look, I'm going to give you this ability. I'm going to be living within you. I'm going to help you pray. And when you come to a point where you don't know how to pray or what to pray for, I'm going to give you words that you won't understand, but I will. And the Spirit will help you pray. And I understand what the Holy Spirit is saying. And we can work together and fight together so that it is accomplished of what needs to be done. Well, okay, but let me ask him, how do I partner with the Holy Spirit? How do I do this? If I understand it's biblical, I see what Scripture talks about, I understand why the tongue is involved in this, but how do I do it? Let me just walk you through some things. Number one, remove all the barriers. Remove all the barriers. Barriers, the issues we've talked about, the things that don't make sense. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. So I have to remove everything that would hinder the Holy Spirit from doing what He wants to do. Well, I don't want to be embarrassed. You can pray this way and nobody else has to hear you. You don't have to shout and jump and get all emotional. It's just a way of praying. Alone when you're in your car, driving. It's a way for you to connect with God. Well, I want to understand it. I've been around this all my life. I still don't understand it. Now, here's the problem. We always criticize what we don't understand. We always diminish what we can't wrap our arms around. And so I have to come to that place where that if this is going to be a part of my life and I'm going to add it to the arsenal of what I have available to me to be able to fight this spiritual battle, then I am going to have to get rid of all the barriers that the enemy will try to put into my way from having what God wants me to have. And many of those barriers are simply things in my mind that come up that keep me from being open to what God wants to do. Secondly, request the filling and power of the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I have to ask. I have to say, God, I am open to whatever you want for me in my life and whatever is right according to your word. And I'm asking you now to let me have every single aspect of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life. I want the Holy Spirit to be in complete control. We talked about this last week, didn't we? I want him to be in control. I want him to be able to do what he wants to do in my life. I want to listen to him. I want to obey him. I want to pray with him. I need someone to help me pray, because I don't know how to pray a lot of times. I need help. And so I believe the Holy Spirit's available. I believe all of this is offered to me. So Father, here I am asking you to help me receive everything that you have for me. I request it. I'm asking. Well, if God wants me to have something, he'll just give it to me. Now, we've talked before that God never overrides your free will. He always respects your will. And so therefore, you have to be willing to have him do what he desires. And you have to open the door. You have to be the one who says, I'm here, I'm ready, I'm available. You request it. God knows how to give good gifts to us. Well, what if I ask and I get something bad? That's not God. That's not what he does. So I request it. Thirdly, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive it. Jude 1:20. You, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me ask you a simple question. When you came to Christ, how did that happen? It happened by faith. You said, I believe Jesus Christ died on a cross for my sins. I believe I'm a sinner. I believe I've broken God's rules, and I believe God has the power to forgive me and to offer me eternal life. I'm going to live for God and not for me from this moment on. You had to ask that. Why? Because you believed that Jesus could do that, didn't you? It was by faith. Don't understand all of that either, but I know that's what the Bible tells us. By faith. How do I receive the Holy Spirit? How do I receive what he has for me? I have to ask him. I have to believe in him. I have to know this is right. This is what God offers. This is what's available to me. So I not only can remove all the things standing in the way and my preconceived ideas and my fears and all the stuff going on inside of me, I focus my mind on this is what Scripture teaches. This is what God's Word says. This is what I believe. This is what I know I need. And so I come to that place where I ask God to help me and I begin to receive everything that God has for me. Now, we all know, don't we, that this isn't a one-time thing. This is a way of living. Because every day, I need the Holy Spirit's presence in my life. Every day, I need help in the battle that I'm fighting to serve God. And I come to that place where I recognize every day, Holy Spirit, I need you to be with me, and I know you are. You're in me, and I need for you to help me surrender to you, to listen to you, to pray with you, to allow you to help me by faith. By faith. Faith means I believe it, even though I don't understand it all. I choose to believe. Fourthly, release your prayer language. At some point, I just have to start saying something. Now, if you're waiting for God to move your jaw, that's just not going to happen. All right? You just have to, by faith, you mean, Pastor, it's me. It's the Holy Spirit in you. He doesn't do it all for you. You have to do something, don't you? So I have to be willing to take those first steps. Well, but what if it sounds horrible? Well, it probably will to you. But you know, I raised 5 kids. And all of them, when they were really young, got to a point where they started talking. They're still talking. But as a parent, you know what? Those first words, Dada. And you know what? For a while, that's all they say. And that just sounds like gibberish, except if you're Dada. And to Dada, it's, look, they're saying my name. They didn't know what they were saying. But Dad did. I don't know what I'm saying, but Dad does. He knows. Notice how Paul says it. I want you to notice this. 1 Corinthians 14. If I pray in tongues, my spirit's praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. Well, then, what shall I do? Notice this. I want you to notice I will, okay? I want you to notice it because he's saying I will. In other words, he's taking responsibility. I will pray in the spirit, and I will also pray in words I understand. I will sing in the spirit, and I will also sing in words I understand. His call. He chose it. He said it. There's sometimes I'm going to pray with my understanding because I know what I need to pray for and I got to give God my needs and I know what my needs are. And God, I'm going to give them to you. But there's other things that I really care about and I just don't know how to pray. And so I can choose at that point to pray in my spirit. And so I have a choice here that I have to step into by faith saying, God, I don't understand this, but you know my heart. You know my life, and you know that I'm wanting to do everything I can to honor you, and I want to serve you well, and I want to be victorious in this battle that I'm up against. And so I have to take a step. Last thing, relate to him daily. I've already said it, but let me just say it again. This isn't a one-time thing that you do. Oh, okay, I've got it, I'm done. No, you're not. This is a way of living. This is a way of praying. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, in verses 10, 11, 12, and the verses previous to this passage, Paul talks about we're not fighting flesh and blood, we're fighting the unseen powers in the heavenly realms. And, you know, he goes into that whole battle thing that we've already looked at, saying, you know what, there's a battle going on out there, and it's in an unseen realm and an unseen world, and it's real and it's ongoing. And so, therefore, that's what he says, therefore, because it's like that, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. Wouldn't it be great to know that after the battle, you're still standing firm? Stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth. You got to live in truth. The body armor of God's righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. I don't have to pray out of fear. I get to pray out of peace, and the peace of God is mine no matter what's going on around me. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Faith, I believe in God and who he is. I don't understand it all, but I'm going to hold that up. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God's word and praying in the spirit are your two main weapons. in this battle that you and I are in. And God, the Holy Spirit takes God's word and makes it real into our lives and teaches us how to use it so that we can benefit from it and be victorious. Verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. You and I are in a battle. It is ongoing. It is in the supernatural realm of which you and I do not understand, but it is real. And if we're going to win this battle, we need to understand that God has provided everything that we need to be victorious. We talked about how he has provided Jesus Christ and his triumph over them on the cross. And he made a spectacle of all the unseen people, unseen rulers going on. He made a spectacle of all of them. And so we fight by the power of the cross and Jesus Christ and what he's done. He gives us his Holy Spirit to guide us, to direct us, to counsel us, to bring conviction into our lives, to control us so that we will be able to do those things that are right, and to give us confidence as we walk and live with him. And he says, then I'm going to give you a way to pray, that you'll be able to pray in a manner that God sees as we pray spirit to spirit. And so it's available to every one of us. We've made it mystical. We've made it fearful. We've made it, comical. I don't want to look like that. I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to be like that. And therefore, we've thrown the baby out with the bathwater. But I'm here to tell you today, according to God's word, the Holy Spirit is real. He's alive inside of you, and he wants to help you in your prayer life. And if you will allow him, he will do more than you can imagine. That is very real. Now, I thought, you know what? After I do a message like this, I just thought it'd be wrong for me to just say goodbye. So we're going to take some time, and we're just going to sing a few more songs and just give you an opportunity to say, Holy Spirit, I want what you have for me. No one's going to do anything, pray for you. If you want to come stand in the front, you're welcome to do that. You can just stay at your seat. You can stand there. But we're not going to do anything to embarrass anybody. I'm uncomfortable. Well, find a place where you're comfortable. And just give you the opportunity that maybe today you begin praying in a manner that's completely new to you, but not new to God. A way of praying that God says, look, it's available. And if you're willing to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and surrender that part of your body that is just hard to control, I'll help you. So would you stand with me this morning?
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.